Marion, Ohio is a city of about 35,000 people, an hour north of Columbus. In 2014, eight teenagers from Guatemala found themselves trapped in Marion in a trafficking ring.
In the case of these eight boys, their parents paid smugglers to take them to the U.S., thinking they would be educated and cared for here.
That's Deirdre Shesgreen, a reporter for USA Today.
And a man in Ohio submitted paperwork saying he was a relative of one of the boys, and then he submitted paperwork for another and another. And the refugee office did no real verification of the relationship between these Guatemalan children and this Ohio sponsor.
The Office of Refugee Resettlement, otherwise known as ORR, is a division of Health and Human Services that resettles unaccompanied migrant children. And that office gave approval for these children to be released in Marion, Ohio.
And that agency is supposed to place them with a relative or another caregiver who will make sure they get to their court dates and make sure they're taken care of while they're waiting for their claims of asylum to be adjudicated.
Instead, the man the government approved to take custody of the teenagers was a smuggler.
These teenagers were actually placed into the hands of traffickers by the federal government. They were required to work long hours, cleaning chicken coops, debeaking chickens, vaccinating chickens. They lived in very poor conditions. One of the trailers didn't even have heat or hot water. Their pay was mostly docked to repay the debts that their parents had paid to these smugglers. It was slavery.
The scandal led to an investigation by a Senate Homeland Security Subcommittee and demands for answers from lawmakers like Ohio Republican Senator Rob Portman.
How could this have happened in America? How did HHS hand over a group of children to human traffickers? Perhaps the most troubling unanswered question is this: how many other cases are there like the Marion trafficking case? The answer is HHS doesn't know. The department maintains no regular means of tracking even known cases of trafficking or abuse, and it does little to monitor the status or well-being of the tens of thousands of children it has placed.
That was in early 2016. President Obama was still in office. And what the scandal revealed is that even in cases where trafficking isn't at play, the government does a poor job of looking out for children's welfare after they cross the border. In 2017, under President Trump, the Office of Refugee Resettlement placed more than 42,000 unaccompanied children, or UACs, and the government still continues to lose track of those kids at an alarming rate.
Between October and December last year, ORR tried to reach 7,635 of these children. Of those, ORR was unable to determine with certainty the whereabouts of 1,475 UAC. In other words, that's almost 1,500 kids missing in just a three-month period.
Today, we try to find out, how did nearly 1,500 migrant children taken into custody by the United States government disappear from the government's radar? I'm Todd Zwillick, and this is The Takeaway. To understand the system, let's start back in Marion, Ohio in 2014 with Deirdre Shesgreen.
The agency is supposed to have safeguards to make sure the children are placed with an appropriate caregiver. So, for example, they're supposed to interview prospective sponsors and conduct background checks on them. But that did not happen in this case. It was definitely a failure here, a failure that resulted in essentially slavery.
And how long were these teenagers in this condition working in this chicken farm? How did they eventually get free?
Well, one of the children managed to get to a phone. He called his uncle and pleaded for help. And the uncle called police. And in December 2014, about 100 law enforcement authorities swooped down on this trailer park in Marion, Ohio, and found the boys living in these cramped, dirty quarters and freed them and uncovered this trafficking ring and this forced labor.
So in the years since, Deirdre, what's been the fallout from this case in Marion? What have been the repercussions, not only for the Office of Refugee Resettlement and HHS, but for this entire vetting system?
So it's resulted in congressional hearings, and a Senate subcommittee opened a six-month investigation. That probe concluded that HHS did not conduct thorough background checks, did not verify sponsors' supposed relationships with children, and didn't take other steps to ensure that these kids were being placed in safe environments.
Now, what did HHS officials say about how this was allowed to happen and about their own systems for vetting?
So there was a hearing in 2016 before this Senate subcommittee, and I've covered a lot of hearings. I've never quite seen something like this. Their answers were honestly kind of astounding. It was, I can't tell you. I'll check with the lawyers. We'll get back to you. I've never heard quite so many passing the buck responses.
So you have no intention of ever trying to solve the problem of, here we gave the kid to the guy who said he was her uncle. And now we told the state maybe, or we didn't tell the state, and good luck to that 15-year-old who went to her uncle.
I don't agree with your characterization of the decision-making process. However, this is an expensive program. Our duty is to execute the will of Congress and the President, which we will do faithfully. If you tell us you want us to track down...
I think our duty is a little more humanitarian than that.
Well, Deirdre, there's a little bit of sound from those hearings that you were talking about. There have been hearings recently as well on Capitol Hill in the Senate. What did they reveal?
Right. So last week, there was a follow-up hearing before the same committee, and they concluded really that HHS officials still don't keep good track of child immigrants who enter the country alone and are placed in these communities around the country. The agency tried to call about 7,600 immigrant children and their sponsors between October and December of 2017, but they couldn't determine the whereabouts of nearly 20% of them. One HHS official at the hearing admitted the agency didn't have any way of tracking the kids down once they go missing. He said the agency doesn't follow up to make sure they go to their court hearings. And he acknowledged that while sponsors sign agreements saying they'll make sure the children and their care go to court hearings, the agency has no way of enforcing that. He did defend HHS and said that it plans to require fingerprint checks for all sponsors soon, not just for the non-parent sponsors. He said that they also require criminal background checks, sex offender checks, and child abuse and negligent registry checks before placing a child with a potential sponsor. But it seems like there are still some pretty gaping holes in the system.
Deirdre Shesgreen covers Congress for USA Today. Deirdre, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's try and get a broader view now of how so many immigrant children have gone unaccounted for by the Department of Health and Human Services and how people are trying to improve that agency. Allison Hurry is an immigration lawyer with Catholic Charities of Southwestern Ohio, which works with unaccompanied children, and she joins me now. Allison, welcome.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Allison, how is this process supposed to work, vetting guardians of minors who cross the border unaccompanied?
Well, when the minor is apprehended by the Department of Homeland Security at the border, they are required to submit the child to the Office of Refugee Resettlement within 72 hours of determining that the child is a UAC or an unaccompanied immigrant child. And then ORR is tasked with actually finding a sponsor in the U.S. or finding placement for the child while they're undergoing their immigration proceedings. The sponsors are usually parents, sometimes their extended family, like adult siblings or aunts and uncles. And in lots of instances as well, there are children who are placed with non-relatives who maybe knew the family from back home or, you know someone from the family from back home. The post-release services include helping a child get enrolled in school, making sure that they're attending their court hearings, and about 32% of UACs total get those post-release services.
Well, Allison, we just heard that there were nearly 1,500 migrant children that HHS can't locate just in the last 3 months. Did it surprise you that there were 1,500 kids the government couldn't account for, or is that normal?
It did surprise me in that I would have expected the number to be higher. Generally, ORR does not do follow-up calls. I think in preparation for the hearing, they decided to do these follow-up calls with the families that they had recently released children to. And in our experience at Catholic Charities, a lot of these children aren't aware of the process, and the families are scared of the process because they're interacting with the government, and that's something that's, it's something you don't do if you're in the immigrant community right now.
Right. I wanted to ask you about that because the experience of the 8 children from Guatemala in Marion, Ohio in 2014 points up a horrific experience with child trafficking, with human trafficking. But in this case, it seems like a charitable explanation for the government is that a lot of these children and their guardians may not be trying to be found.
Well, and that might be the case, but if a child is represented by counsel in immigration proceedings and attends their immigration proceedings, the child is infinitely more likely to get a benefit and relief from removal and be able to stay in the United States and be protected from the danger that they faced when they were in their home country. So, you know, one of the things that the ORR agency is required to do is make sure that these children are attending their immigration proceedings. So a lot of these children are, you know, unaware of their rights and their responsibilities because they are not represented by counsel. They're not explained the process when they are in custody. And once they're released to a sponsor, no explanation is provided to the sponsor about their rights and responsibilities and the child's responsibility to attend their immigration proceedings.
Allison, how important was the 2014 experience in Marion, Ohio, to this entire area of child resettlement? Did it rock the field? Is it something that continues to have repercussions today in how you all do business?
Well, I think for Catholic Charities, it does resonate with us because it does hit so close to home. It's only about a 2.5-3 hour drive from Cincinnati to Marion, Ohio. And we, you know, our caseworkers are going out to communities that are rural areas and doing home studies of families from all over our geographic area. So it's not just Cincinnati that's that we're covering. And I think in terms of the wider conversation, this hasn't really been something that's been at the forefront of the conversation as of yet. I think, you know, all of the investigation from the Senate committee has really brought to light the problems and the challenges that ORR is facing in dealing with and taking care of these children. Hopefully that will come to some sort of beneficial resolution for the way that we handle UACs in our country.
Well, as somebody who works with these cases every day, Allison, where do you think improvement needs to happen? What do you think the government could do next week, next month, or the next time they have an appropriations bill to improve this situation?
Well, one of the things that I think is really telling about this process is that only 32% of children get post-release services, meaning that only 32% of them are actually indicated or identified by the government to social service agencies like ours to provide services. Now, that's not to say that our agency would only provide services to individuals who are identified to us by ORR, because we do have caseworkers that work with other families that have UACs in their custody that are not in the post-release service run through ORR. But that's a big piece of it, is getting that actual service and identifying to the families the ability to access social services like ours.
Allison Hari, immigration lawyer with Catholic Charities of Southwestern Ohio. Allison, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.